Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday, I introduced you to this brand new series, God Is Our Rest. I acknowledge the reality in many of our lives. We're tired. We are desperately seeking a good long rest, but that seems impossible in the hectic, busy world in which we live and work and engage with our families. All the technology, all the toils, time spent working, and the weight of what's growing on our family trees is getting to us and robbing us of an abundant life. And today we come to the Bible and ask, what does Jesus have to say to us? Remember, this summer we're learning who God is from the life of Christ, and since Jesus is God, he has a lot to teach us about who God is. And these days together are dedicated to understanding that God is our rest. As we continue, I want to say there are a couple of ways that we can talk about the rest that God provides to us. When Jesus speaks of rest, you might be tempted to think he means something like getting more sleep, spending time doing nothing, relaxing more, or you might want to spiritualize your opinion a bit. Jesus must be talking about praying quietly, attending a spiritual retreat, or joining that church camp, albeit while practicing social distancing, later this summer. And soon enough, we'll come to the interaction between Jesus and his first disciples that teaches us about this kind of rest. But that is not where Jesus starts. What Jesus does is to speak of a more important and meaningful kind of rest, and that is a rest for your soul. We can and we will talk about physical and mental rest. That's important. But that is not the most important. It is essential that we start where Jesus starts, and he begins with finding eternal rest in God such that our lives are forever positively transformed. Tomorrow we are going to come to the Gospel of Matthew and the words of Jesus, but before we get there, I want to introduce Jesus' words by talking with you about the way God has designed each of us. And here's my main point. God has designed us to be spiritual beings. Think of the hub and spokes on a tire. It's summertime now, so where I live there are lots of bicyclists riding, often in teams, but sometimes solo. And when the ride is over, they come into town and park their bikes. And some of these bikes are really fancy and quite expensive. Well, imagine that you're with me and we bend down and take a good look at the wheels on one of those bikes. What we'd see is a hub in the center and then spokes going out in every direction from the center of the wheel. The core of the wheel, the center of the wheel, is the hub, and the wires that go out from there to the actual inner part of the tire at the rubber are the spokes. The hub and the spokes go together, and they make the wheel turn. The analogy I want to make is this. In our inner person, in the hub of who God has made us to be, we are spiritual beings. And then the spokes that in the analogy go out from our core are other elements of our being, for example, what is mental, emotional, and physical. All of this together makes up our whole person. That's how people run. The human person has to be dealt with holistically. And the Bible addresses everywhere the whole person. As I said, we'll come to mental, emotional, and physical tiredness later. But what the Bible elevates over the mental, emotional, and physical is the spiritual. God prioritizes spiritual health. A healthy hub of the bicycle tire is essential to the spokes of the tire. In fact, you cannot have a tire without a hub. And without a healthy hub, the spokes are just weak wires laying around on the ground someplace. A bicycle is completely useless without a strong, well-working hub in the center of the wheel. Likewise, until we address the core of our being, our spiritual health, it doesn't do us much good to address mental, emotional, and physical health. And yet, that is exactly what most people try to do. even believers in Jesus. Maybe this is what you were trying to do. For too many people to count, the source of exhaustion is in the hub of life. It's spiritual fatigue. But what folks do is spend a lot of money and time and effort in addressing the spokes of their inner being, treating tiredness in the mind, the emotions, and in the physical body. Actually, the physical body probably gets the most attention. I wouldn't be so tired if I could get more sleep. I wouldn't feel so awful if I just changed my diet. Exercise, if I get the endorphins pumping, that would wake me up. Hundreds of millions of dollars, billions globally, are spent every year as people try to address sources of weariness related to mental, emotional, and physical drain. Vitamins, drugs, gym memberships, health foods, visit to the doctor and psychologist. But all the while, people ignore the real problem, the deeper issue that explains being tired, our spiritual health. It is true that we must be attentive to all aspects of our health, absolutely. God wants us to give tender care to our whole persons, getting more sleep, having a healthy diet, drinking a lot of water, and moving. Exercising that body of ours is essential to not feeling so exhausted all of the time. I believe this. But you can do all of that and still not find rest. Why? We cannot find rest until we find our rest in God. And God is inviting us to spend time in the hub of our inner being, addressing spiritual health. And He promises to meet us there and to be our healer and make us well. Once He heals our souls, then we'll be rested. And you might object, that's not true. I'm a Christian and I still struggle with mental, emotional, and physical unrest. Well, let me ask you this. How attentive have you been to the hub, the center of your life, your soul? There are some scriptures that I want to put on your mind that speak of us as spiritual beings. God has made us for Himself, and it's in our spirit and our souls that we recognize our Maker. According to the Old Testament and the Psalmist, God puts us all together a certain way. He says this of God in Psalm 139 and verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts." That's Psalm 139, verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts." God did not only design our outer parts, but He also has intimately woven together our inner person. And what is that inner part? It's our souls. We cannot see it. A doctor probing around in your body cannot find it, but every person ever made has a soul, and that soul was designed to be attentive, very attentive, singular in its attentiveness to God. Listen to the beautiful way Solomon puts this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. This is the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. God has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. I love this. What does Solomon mean by it? He means that we are made for God. We are all made for God. Eternity is set in our being. We are not made for this life only. We are made for eternal and everlasting life. We are made for life in heaven with God after life here on earth was spent developing, nurturing, and caring for that relationship with God. We have to pay careful attention to our souls. The soul cannot be ignored. God cannot be ignored. God cannot be fought and repelled. God cannot be denied. If you think you can run and hide from God or stand up and fight Him, you're going to find that you have no peace, you have no comfort, you have no strength, and you have no rest. But the people of our communities, this is exactly what they do. They resist God and fight against Him. It's all out war against God. And this is what the prophet Jeremiah cried about. Wicked leaders among prophets and priests in ancient Israel had a false sense of peace. They were lulled to sleep, but judgment loomed because the sinning soul had to be dealt with. Jeremiah 6 and verse 14 says, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace. I'm afraid that is the state of so many people I talk with. They say, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace. They think they're going to be at peace ignoring and or fighting God. They might even say, "I have peace." But they will never have peace so long as they deny that they have eternity in their hearts, and therefore they must encounter the Creator and living God. Now you might ask, well, how can a person do that? How can a person be attentive to their soul? How do we stop resisting and fighting God? How do we have peace? I'm glad you asked, because this is exactly what Jesus will address tomorrow. He's going to tell us about spiritual rest, because that is the most important kind of rest that we require. In John's Gospel in chapter 7, Jesus declared something extraordinary about our spiritual being. He quotes from Isaiah and says this in John 7 and verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Now that's a beautiful picture. For those of us who believe in Jesus, we know that only our faith in him and only the presence of the Holy Spirit in our souls has transformed our inner being into something like a river, fresh, clear, effervescent water that comes running through us. The world around us can be like a war zone. We might even have mental, emotional, and physical limitations and problems. But on the inside, deep down in our souls, there flows a river of living water. Ah, the assurance of the soul at rest. There's not much better. And we're going to talk much more about all of this starting tomorrow as we continue to discover this: God is our rest.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.